Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you do so each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also invite you to watch our TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 files of these radio programs, the TV programs are there, and a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be running the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. For the past few months, we've been dealing with the subject of sin, and we've been looking at various aspects of our subject. And this week, we're going to begin a new part of this study in talking about the doctrine of sin. We want to talk about the doctrine of sin. Robert Samper, diminutive in build, 4'6" tall, and weighing only 87 pounds, looked younger than 11 years old. He had a winning smile. Because of his great love for cookies, he was best known as most of his friends as Yummy. He was not a typical 11-year-old. By the time Yummy was 9 years old, he was a convicted felon. Having no knowledge of his father and virtually abandoned by his mother, he was turned over to his grandmother. His grandmother, who thought of him as a quiet boy, could not control him, and he was taken into custody by the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services in Chicago. During the efforts to rehabilitate him, Yummy was in and out of his grandmother's care while under the auspices of the Chicago Police Department. By the age of 11, he was a member of a gang, Black Disciples Nation No. 3, a large and powerful gang. What were the codes and rules? Abide by the commands given by the appointed chief. No fight or mistreat any other nation member unless told to do so. Sacrifice my life for the nation's causes. Feeling he did not have anyone who cared and wanting to belong, the gang life appealed to him. They would accept him if he proved himself. How? He had to kill somebody. So at 6 p.m. on August 30th, 1994, Yummy shot a 16-year-old boy, leaving him with a serious spinal cord injury. And since the boy did not die at 9 p.m. the same day, Yummy shot and killed Sharon Dean, a 14-year-old neighbor girl. He was easily identified. A sixth grader on the lam wanted for murder. They found him 3 days later, ankles tied together, his hands tied behind his back. He was in a kneeling position, face down in the dirt. He was shot twice in the back of the head, execution style. Robert Sandified had paid his dues. Just a few years ago, two boys, 11 and 13 years old, in Arkansas, killed four of their classmates and a teacher. We all know what happened in Colorado just years ago, when 12 people died at the hands of two high school seniors. Sadly, the list goes on and on all over this country, as you and I are well aware of. What causes this terrible outbreak of violence? Some say harm the child, and the child will return the harm to others. This was true in Yummy's case. Having neither support from his parents and a grandmother incapable of controlling him, he hated all persons of authority, no self-worth or a sense of belonging. Gang members brag they give what is lacking in the home, recognition, love, and security. Alerted by a tip in February 1994, the Chicago police found 19 children, mostly under the age of 5, home alone. Children belonging to four mothers who were in the care of a 14-year-old boy. Home filled with garbage, soiled mattresses, scattered about. One child asked a police officer, getting them dressed, "Would you be my mommy and let me go home with you?" Three mothers were found and arrested. The fourth, in the hospital, giving birth to another child. While I do not want to suggest these are typical families or typical situations, they do exist nevertheless. Such are the ills of our times that we live in. politicians, philosophers, teachers, and preachers lament that the family is not what it used to be. That's an understatement. The evidence clearly shows that many problems exist within the family unit. It is absolutely sickening to read of the abuse, sexual and physical, verbal, emotional, done to wives and to children. Are these new problems? No. What are the answers to these difficult problems? Well, we want to endeavor to ask and answer. Sin in the home, a biblical precedence. The first murder was conducted in the home when Cain slew Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Amalek slew 70 of his brothers to make sure none of them would try to get over and be a judge instead of him in Judges 9, 1 through 5. Athaliah slew her own grandsons in order so she could retain the king, the queenship, you know, of her authority in 2 Kings 11 and verse 1. Absalom killed his brother Amnon because of his sin with his sister Tamar. Sexual immorality by Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, led to Eli being condemned by God and led to their own death, according to 1 Samuel 2, verse 22. Adultery that King David committed ended up with the death of a young child in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 through 5. Incest was conducted by Lot and his daughters in Genesis 19 after the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. These examples and many others which we could offer illustrate the fact that sin has always been in the home. It's always been there and it's always been a problem. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Paul wrote, some Christians had practiced all these types of sins, and yet they were changed when they were converted to Christ. Sins in the home has a negative impact on society and a negative impact on the Lord's church. Not that long ago, many of these types of sins were limited to the ungodly. That's just not so today. Social pressures are causing many religions weakening their stands on the moral issues of the day. Some, even among us, seek for loopholes in the Word. Some are restudying the marriage issues. Elders and preachers are looking for other ways to advocate men and women living in adultery. More and more of the Lord's church is dealing with its own members having these types of problems in their life, with elders and preachers and deacons and a host of other people who want to live in sin and still be recognized as Christians. Proverbs 14:34 said that sin is a reproach to any nation. Christians are accepting things they once would be ashamed to discuss. Adultery, homosexuality, abortion, and all this making us more like the nations around us, exactly the problem that God's people had in 1 Samuel chapter 8 when they asked Samuel to give them a king. The cure? There's only one cure for this epidemic and this problem, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The family was planned and established by God. Read Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 31. Mankind was a special part of God's creation. From the beginning, there has been six characteristics fundamental about the home. Number one, it's based upon one man and one woman relationship. Genesis 2, 18 through 24. Number two, marriage is a lifetime commitment. Read Malachi 2, verse 16. God hates divorce. Whatever God has joined together, man is not to put asunder. Matthew 19, 8. And Romans 7, 1 through 4 is to last until death do us part. Fidelity in this relationship is always to be maintained according to the instruction and teaching of 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. Husbands and wives are to help one another to maintain their salvation in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16, and also 1 Peter 3, and verse 7. Children are to be taught to be obedient to God when they rise up and when they go to sleep, and always before their eyes, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 and 7, and we're to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and not provoke them to anger. Read Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 4. And lastly, parents should teach their children the value of marrying those who have the same values and the same goals spiritually that they do. Early and later sins in the home. In just 10 generations following the creation, it repented God that he had created man and he destroyed the earth with a flood in Genesis 6, 1 through 6. What brought on this condition? Man's heart was evil continually. Read Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. When leaving Egypt, He warned of the dangers of intermarriage in Exodus chapter 34, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and then also in Joshua chapter 23. Why? The danger of turning them away from God. Solomon prayed to this very thing in his own life when he married many foreign women and their gods and their idols that he freely worshiped with them. If the world gave little regard to marriage relationship, what will this do to our view if we allow them to influence our thinking? Romans chapter 12, we are to renew our mind with the word of God. Mark this down, friend. The world will not be a better place until God's people live as he intended, not by the world's view, but by God's view. Homes are not a success by accident. When people fill their roles as God gave them, the home will be stronger and more secure and more structured. Mankind would do much better following God's rule instead of inventing their own that's leading to decay and the defilement and the desecration of the home. God's home is the application of God's truth. The home is built by first following the biblical principles for home and marriage. Companionship was the reason for the creation of woman. Also, to produce those things after their own kind, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. A little girl once quipped about creation, God took one look at man and said, I can do better than that. Then he made woman. Well, maybe. This is a mutual companionship, a two-way street. Three facets in this relationship. Number one, procreation. Genesis 1:27. God wanted mankind to replenish the earth. Communing. God gave mankind sexual desire. These are not sinful in and of themselves. Despite the teaching of some, procreation is not the only reason for marriage, but sexual fulfillment is a blessing of this relationship. Read 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. And Hebrews 13 says marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. Spiritual welfare. God also gave mankind a spiritual nature. This also needs to be satisfied. And they have done so when we worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:24. When we do things according to his will and we walk in his commandments, then we will be walking in the light and he will have fellowship with us and we can have fellowship with him. And so what we need to follow the biblical principles. We need to get sin out of the home. And the only way you get sin out of the home is you have to get the biblical principles in. We must follow God's instruction and not our own. We must follow man's. We must follow God's philosophy and not the theory of men. We must not allow human theology and human philosophy and human thinking to override and overshadow the divine principles that are contained in the Bible. The home will never be what God would have it to be as long as we let sin roam in the home. As long as we allow sin to roam freely in the home environment, it's going to bring down the home. It's going to bring down families. It's going to bring hardship. It's going to bring heartache. And it's going to bring destruction, not only to the home, but to the nation. Take a good look around at our nation, and you can see it is the result of the breakdown of the home. It has been said, as the home goes, so goes the nation. So you know what direction the nation's going, and it's a direct result of the home not being established on biblical principles and not following God's guidelines for both husband and wife, mothers and fathers. Such is bringing chaos and destruction to the home, and sin in the home is going to be destructive. Thank you for listening today. We hope you're tuning again next Lord's Day as we continue looking